I'm Marissa.
And I'm Rachel.
And you're listening to the PTO Podcast.
All right, we are back on the PTO Podcast presented by One Country. It has been a week or so since I've seen Marissa, and a lot has gone down.
I know, I've been following along on your Instagram. You've been having quite the few weeks.
Yeah, I'm not sure what bad karma I'm facing right now, but the universe seems to hate me this month. However, last weekend was CMA, and that was pretty epic.
Wait, okay, but also most recently, your car broke down, okay. Your basement flooded, your toe is fractured.
Yeah.
What am I missing?
And then I was in a fraud situation from, I say it all casually, $1,700. Yeah. I'm laughing through the tears. Everything's great.
Okay.
You're looking at me so concerned. You're like,
well, I'm just wondering if you can go into depth.
The answer is no.
$1,700.
Okay. So basically, I got an email from this guy, you know, whatever, to do hand-drawn wedding invitations. Mm. Not normal, you know, whatever, some random from the internet. So I took about 3 weeks. I drew this whole thing up. He sent me a check, and then for $2,300. So, okay, let me back it up a little bit. He was like, my budget for this is $800. And in my head, I'm like, dang, I would have charged him like $400. Mm. So as a freelancer, sometimes it's hard to take a step back and be like, because I kind of knew it seemed a little sketchy, but sometimes you're so money driven, you kind of just don't look at all the red flags and you're like, yeah, I can do that. Let's go, whatever. And this is also during a time where CMAs were coming up and I was just doing 50 things at once and again, not paying attention. So he basically, in the middle of us talking on the phone and XYZ, we had multiple forms of communication, which it felt okay. He was like, so sorry, I hate to ask you, but is there any way I can pay you extra to pay the printer for the invitations? When I say it out loud, it sounds dumb and I should have known, because the printer only takes Zelle and Venmo. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And he was on me. He's like, hello, you there? And I'm like, yeah, whatever, just whatever. So he sends me the check. I deposit the check. What I didn't know, which anyone could learn from this, is that if you're in good standing with your bank, a check will deposit. It'll show within 24 hours in your account. So it showed that I had the money in my account, but it actually takes up to 10 days for it to literally be in your account. But because I'm in good standing, that money that looked like it was in my account was actually just a credit. So you could give me $10,000 that you don't have, and I could have it in my account. I could cash it out. And then when the bank realizes that your check was no good, I now owe the bank $10,000.
So how do you avoid that?
You be smarter who you trust, but also you should call your bank and be like, hey, did this actually go through or is this showing as just a credit? You should never send money to anybody in a project like this. I should only be receiving and not sending.
Right.
So that was my number one mistake. But yeah,
scammers are getting so good nowadays.
I know. And to target an artist, and those invitations I did were freaking good.
I know. My wedding's coming up and I'm in the thick of the invitation process.
Let me just send you over this guy's invitations. Great. I hand drew them. Yeah, whatever. Anyway, so
actually
send
that to me. I will see what it looks like.
Yeah, I will. I'll send it to you. So that happened. And then we had a big storm in Nashville, where Marissa and I live. And I've lived in this house for 3 years and never had a flood. And it was my basement was flooding from 4 different zones. And I'm just like, okay, that's great. My roommates are like, huh, that sucks. I'm like, yeah, it does suck. $3,000 later.
Being a homeowner hits different.
Yeah. You have followed along with my home
journey,
which has been a crazy one. But yeah, and then again, this whole money driven or just freelance work-life balance. Yesterday, I got a call that was like, can you shoot Pookie and Jet in Atlanta? Can you get here today? And I was like, I'm pretty sick right now, as you can probably tell from my voice, but I'll be there because I'm a crazy person and have no work-life balance and racing to drive 4 hours to Atlanta. And then my tire blew out on the interstate. And I think I'm some superhero. I was like, okay, call AAA. I called the Firestone. I was like, I need you guys to bump me to the front, change out my tire right now. And they're like, ma'am, that is not possible. And I was like, I need you to make it possible. And they were like, okay. I was like, okay. So I got it changed, went to Firestone, got a new tire, set on my way. I was only 10 minutes late to the shoot.
No way. Oh, so it was on the way down. Okay, but yeah. We also glazed over. Those of you that didn't hear, Rachel was shooting Pookie and Jet. They got very popular off of TikTok. It's a couple, a married couple, young married couple, and they're very Southern. And he says, Pookie's looking fabulous today in her different outfits.
And he talks like that. Like, that's real life.
But you know what I like about them? Some people think they're cringe. But I think he loves her so dang much. And it is so authentic.
No, it actually is, because I didn't really know a lot about them prior, but I knew that they were blown up on TikTok. So I did some research like on my way, and I was like, if any man talked to me like that, I would cringe. But then in person, he was hype. Like, I was shooting photos of her and he was like, my God, Pookie, you look good. I was like, dang, he is hyping this woman up and I love it. And I'm like, okay, maybe I do want a guy to do that.
Wait, so behind the scenes, he still calls her Pookie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And was like, Pookie, you look amazing every 5 seconds.
What is her real name?
Campbell. Which is so cute. I know, isn't that Campbell's a cute name? Cute. It's a cute name. But yeah, they're really nice.
Okay, so I did see you a few weeks ago, just for a second, a hot second.
Where were we?
CMA Fest.
Oh, yeah.
And you had a very different demeanor and schedule than I did. This, for me, was the lightest CMA Fest I've ever had in 7 years of being here.
Are you serious?
I don't mean to brag about it, but I had two shows on Thursday.
You got full 8 hours of sleep?
8 hours.
What? What? That is unheard of.
No, seriously, I knocked out two Kylie Morgan shows back to back, and then I was out of there, and I never looked back.
Are you
kidding? On the other hand, tell me about your CMA Fest journey, because I did see some MGK stuff. I saw some Jelly Roll, some Post Malone shots from you.
Our producer, Preston, who's in the room, we were in the trenches at CMA Fest. So I was shooting for Spotify House, and this is my third year with them, and it was epic. We had the coolest artists come in, Jelly Roll, MGK, which is crazy, Keith Urban, Post Malone, Shaboozy, all those people, and it was like 12 plus hour work days in the trenches of Ole Red on Broadway, but it was awesome. I mean, shooting MGK as like a mainly country artist photographer was wild. I was like, I love my job so much, as I'm like crying and my knees hurt and I'm like, I'm too old for this shit, like literally on the floor of Ole Red that I am usually blackout at. But it was awesome. I mean, I think honestly, those are the best photos I've ever taken in my life.
They were pretty fabulous.
Thanks. He was just like smoking a blunt on the stage.
I saw that. I'm like, can you even smoke inside anymore?
Yeah, I was like, noted. Okay. And then he like jumped off the stage and got into the crowd and then jumped on the bar. It was wild.
And for those of you that don't know, Ole Red is not like a massive bar at all. It is a very tight, intimate bar that like for you to see those kinds of people, let alone like you shot them in the portrait studios too, right?
I didn't shoot the portrait studio, but I helped set up lighting and stuff for that. Gotcha. But no, I think that's why these shows are so unique and crazy, because these artists are used to performing in stadiums and arenas and all that. So when they do get this intimate vibe, it's like Jelly Roll, it was like crying on the stage, because he was like, I miss this vibe. Like, I miss this intimacy with my fans. And really special, really special job. CMA Fest, I got 4 hours of sleep. I shot Shaboozy too at the PBR bar.
Which, like, gosh, he is having a freaking moment right now. I don't know anything about him.
Yeah.
But I'm so stoked for him, because to burst on the scene in the way that he did with this song Tipsy is like,
and this whole album that he released too is so good.
Really, I need to go and listen.
You should listen to it.
But we're trying to get a write with him and Walker Hayes on the books.
Oh, really?
Because Walker just loves his sound and and everything like that. But
I actually met him at a party in LA before all this happened. Shaboozy.
Really?
Yeah, he was dating my friend, and I went to this like party with her, and he was there, and it was actually the celebration party for his song on the Beyonce album.
Oh, cool.
He has like a song with her. And then Young Gravy was there.
Yeah.
Who I didn't know at first. I was like kind of flirting with him. And my friend was like, don't you dare. That's Young Gravy. And now I swear I see Young Gravy everywhere.
Wait, because he's doing the country album. But funny enough, at Stagecoach, which I actually ran into at Stagecoach as well.
Young Gravy? Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing here? He's so everywhere.
He is everywhere right now, which is great. And I venture to say that if you're going to come and dip your toe in the country genre, it's nice when you actually show up to the country stuff. Like Young Gravy's doing, like Post Malone's doing.
Yeah.
Won't name any other names of people that came into country and are not doing that. Beyonce.
Beyonce will like see a old red next year yeah. for Spotify House.
Rachel will give you epic photos.
I promise.
But at Stagecoach, the backstage artist area, there's a bunch of trailers labeled with the artist names, and there's some picnic tables in like the courtyard outside of those artist trailers. Mm-hmm. And I was just sitting there outside of Kylie Morgan's, my artist that I had playing that, and I see Young Gravy walking over, and he's like getting closer to Kylie's door, but he sees me sitting there and he's like, is Kylie in there? And I was like,
girl, Kylie.
No, she's not in there right now. What's up? Like I manage her. Like, yeah, I was like, do you need I can tell her to come back. And he's like, oh, I'm just a big fan.
Really?
Dead serious.
No, really? Cute.
And I was like, oh my God, I gotta get Kylie back here ASAP.
Yeah. Where was she?
Off gallivant and watching other shows probably. No. But anyways, and so we talked for a second, and he was still like in eyesight, whatever. Yeah, yeah, he was like close by. Kylie comes back and I fill her in. They go meet, whatever. And then he comes and finds me and says, I would love to write with Kylie or something like that. And I was like,
a Kylie Morgan, great. Young Gravy?
I said, great. Let me.
We have got to get that on the books.
I said, can you give me your manager's number or your publisher, whoever books your rights? I'll get with them and set something up. And he goes, no, take down my number.
Oh,
and so I like
he's personal.
I took my phone out and I typed his number.
He's like, I actually just wanted to get your number. That's his vibe. I'm like, sus.
I don't think I'm old enough. Doesn't he like moms?
He does like moms. I did. Maybe I am old enough.
Oh my
research.
God, shit, I'm old.
Shoot, no.
No. Mm. But anyway, so I type it in. Stagecoach service is shitty, right? So
we're at Stagecoach.
We're still at Stagecoach.
Oh, that's when I was with Charlie and Dixie. Okay.
Shut up and let me tell my story.
Sorry, because Young Gravy. Okay.
Anyways, service spotty. It shows up green when I texted him, and I was like, I have the wrong number.
Fake number.
Then later that night, I just copied my same message because I was like, you know what? None of my texts were going out.
Yeah.
Sent it. It was blue.
We're in business.
Heard back from him 48 hours after, but for those 48 hours, I was like, I ain't hearing back from him. And now we're getting something set up, so.
That's wild.
Yeah. So okay, do we both have Young Gravy's number? Should we send him a photo?
I don't. Yes. Well, yes.
Both of us, same photo.
Yes.
Enjoying this podcast? Get more exclusive content in the One Country app. Download today in the App Store.
Okay, wait. Rewind a little bit. So I feel like me just getting so excited about Kylie and you getting excited about Kylie kind of brings me to like the work, again, to like that work-life balance and like the blur of how do you kind of like not get too personal with your artist. Like me and Kylie and you and Kylie, like we're all such good friends now, but that started from a working relationship. So I feel like this is a topic that I talk about a lot is just like, when do you know when to give your artist space, when to not, how close to get, when to not get too close. Like that's something I learn and am learning every single day, like especially with the Lumineers. So yeah, I don't know. What is your take on that?
Well, I think we laugh a lot, me and you, about work-life balance because
it doesn't
really
exist.
Isn't one.
We're like,
but also we love what we
our mental
do.
Health
totally
is declining. However,
and it's like
we love our job.
And it's like we're in too deep, you know, like how
yeah,
like it's like Homer Simpson in the bushes. Like how do I just get not as personal? You know, like we can't go back from that.
No, it's tough.
And management, and I'm sure you feel like this too as a photographer, but like management is such a close, intimate relationship and it's a very maternal or paternal role. You are constantly putting that person before yourself. You're constantly thinking of them. You want what's best for them because that's also what's best for you. so it's hard to turn that off. It's hard to not wake up in the middle of the night with an idea for Walker or Kylie or whatever. So it is tough, and I haven't figured it out yet. But
yeah,
what about for you? I wonder if, and tell me if I'm wrong or missing the mark on this, but I feel like your work-life balance more so stems from your, why am I blanking on the word? Because of your self-employment. Why? Freelance.
Okay, yeah.
Right? Because you don't want to say no to good gigs.
Yeah.
So you...
Like, I will blow my tire out for Pookie and Jet.
Exactly. Exactly what I'm saying.
And I will cry all the way there, but I'll get you the best shots.
And you will...
And then I'll set up my therapy appointment.
And you'll forgo a day off to paint Jelly Roll shoes.
Okay, yeah. I forgot I did that. See, that's another thing. It's like things happen so fast that my mom will be like, you need to pause and be like, look at what you've done. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot. But yeah, to rewind back on what you said, I took the Wednesday before CMA off because I knew I was going to have 4 days straight of 14-hour workdays. And I get a call from Jelly Roll's stylist that morning, and she's like, off chances, probably not possible. And I'm like, what? And she goes, is there any way you can paint Jelly Roll's shoes for the Nissan Stadium performance? And I was like, yeah, bring them within an hour and I'll get it done. Like, literally a psycho. Because she's like, oh, they don't need to be done by Saturday. This is Wednesday. And I'm like, oh no, my workday starts tomorrow, so they got to be done by tonight and I will get them done. But then I was also at the stadium on Saturday and Sunday, and just seeing him in the art, I'm like, okay, that was worth it.
It's all worth
that
it,
was
yeah.
Cool. That was a cool experience. Yeah. So yeah, my work-life balance, no one should take advice from me on that. But it is like tough to not get too close to the artist as a photographer. Mm-hmm. What I do and what you do is so intimate. Like you said, like you're putting this person before yourself. Mm-hmm. So then at what point is it like too personal? And I feel like I struggled a lot with that with Carly in the beginning, because she was like one of my first artists. And you guys all remember, I like couldn't stop talking about her. I was like so excited mm-hmm. to be like with Carly and on tour and all that. And then after COVID, I didn't really work with her on tour anymore. And I remember I like took it so personal, but like it's not that personal at the end right. of the day. Like it's business. And so, yeah, and then... I am now on tour with the Lumineers, and there's so many ways to navigate that, because there's so many people in the band, but there's like two front men and you kind of have to like, you know, give them space, but then also be present, but then not too present, but then be friends with everyone, but not too close. And yeah, it's so hard.
It's an interesting dynamic I can imagine yeah. with a band, but even per client, like I had worked with Walker for a couple years, 2 years maybe, mm-hmm. before I started working with my next client, Kylie. Well, Walker's, at the time, he was a 40-year-old dad of six, a male that we bonded over football, Bama football. Like, really, that was like our anchoring point, right? Bama
just comes in.
But then I was so nervous to work with a female that was my really? Age. That, yeah, because I was like, I want to keep this a working professional relationship.
Yeah.
And I made sure of that before. Like, I remember... I was like, you know what? I don't know if we're going to be best friends before the first time we went on the road. I said, we don't have to be best friends, but I know that I'm a good manager and I will make sure that all of her needs are met on the management front.
Yeah.
And I went into it wanting to have that boundary. Now, fast forward a little bit, like we were traveling everywhere together, just me and her, because she played solo acoustic. We didn't need a band. We shared a hotel room, like yeah. had companion pass on Southwest, all these things. But then learning that dynamic was new. Then you add, like, I couldn't imagine doing a band, though, too, where you have all the competing
so different. Yeah.
personalities, but they're all
important. But then what's, like, advice that you would give someone who wants to be a manager for an artist? Like, what's, like, an overall advice on that? Yeah, I know. Your face is like, there's so many. Just
there
don't
are,
do
There
it.
Are so many things, but I think something overarching that I would love to get into that I bet you would say was is a crucial thing in your career, and yeah. I know for a fact it is in mine, and it's something I practice weekly, daily, is networking. Like,
yeah,
I think it's important in most industries, but in the music industry specifically, if you are a good hang, you will go so far this industry.
I know. It's okay. When I think about like a tour photographer or literally anyone on tour, it's kind of like being a pilot. You have to be like the right height, you have to have perfect eyesight, XYZ. But like, I feel like that is how it is on tour. Like, you have to be a cool hang. You have to shower. You have to like not have like weird tics. Like, I remember a guy didn't get the job in a band because he like didn't shower enough, or like he had this weird like cough thing and it just annoyed everyone. But he was a great player. But we were like, like, you would literally have to be the perfect person. And that's how you get the job. It's so crazy.
I will say, I was onboarding a new photographer who's coming out for Don't Get Butt Hurt, that you're not on the Walker tour.
Stop.
But there's a photographer that we have coming out for a couple of runs. And I was onboarding him, just kind of like telling him expectations and things like that. And once I ran through the nuts and bolts, I was like, and also, and it's like things that you think should be second nature, but like, no, like, don't spread your stuff out on the bus.
Yeah.
And be mindful that you're living on that with 10 other people. And when you're in the green room, don't unpack all your camera stuff everywhere and leave no room for the other people. Like, there's certain nuances that you don't think
about
would make or break, but then it's like, we had someone that did it and then they're not with us anymore, you know?
When I think about, actually, that reminds me of like my first bus tour was with Walker Hayes. And one, I had the flu, didn't tell anybody. And I was so scared. I didn't know where to put like my bag or where to put like, I didn't know there was like an underbay thing. I didn't know where to put my shoes and my backpack. So I'd put everything in my bunk to just be like, just stay out of the way, stay out of the way. And I was like crouched in my bunk, like with all my stuff. Cause I was like, I don't know where to put it. And I can't remember, someone on the tour was like, sweetie, like, you know, you don't have to have your shoes in your, like in your sheets. Gross. And I was like, oh, okay. Thank you. Like, I'm like, shoot, just stay out of the way. But yeah, no, there's so many like tics. Like, I need to write like a handbook for future tour photographers to
read. 100% should write a handbook.
PTO pod handbook, what to do, what not to do.
Bus life,
on
tour life.
Do not shit in the bus, number one.
Number one rule.
Yeah.
No pooping in the bus. And what's this? Well, to go along with that.
Okay.
You can't use toilet paper of any kind. So
yes,
girls only have the problem with that.
Yes.
When you pee, no flushing of the toilet paper. I've had to stick my hand.
I know, sometimes you forget.
It's instinctual.
I was like, oh, shoot.
I mean,
my tampon's in the toilet. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. Oh, you just pick it up and throw it away.
Oh, my God.
It's fine.
Ew. Lord have mercy. So back to networking.
Let's go back to networking.
Looking for more exclusive content from your favorite artists? Download the One Country app today and access podcasts, interviews, performances, and more. Available now in the App Store.
Do you feel as though?
Yeah.
Follow me on this journey.
I hate when you say this because I know it's about to be a question that I'm going to have a funny story to. So just tell me.
Do you feel as though networking is like dating? Dating on the apps. When you don't know the person, you're going to meet them, you have to look up their picture.
It actually makes it better because I've been on dates where I'm like, you know what? Okay, get this. I'm not kidding when I say every Hinge, whatever date I have been on, they have always hired me after.
Wait.
Am I getting paid to hang out with you? Yes. No, I'm not kidding. Like, I'll meet up with a guy and say it doesn't work out, which clearly it hasn't. but like a year later, they'll hire me.
Okay, that's great. You have a great impression.
Yeah. So I'm like, romantic. Oh, I'll go on dates or network or whatever, because like, no matter what, I think, yeah, you leave an impression or you have a connection. But then there was this one time where this guy hired me, and this is like years ago, and it was to shoot his new single. And he was kind of weird. I don't know, whatever. I just did the job. And I asked him at the end, I was like, so how did you find me? Like, Instagram, what? And he goes, oh no, we actually matched on Bumble. And he goes, and my song that we're shooting for today is called Swipe Right. So I thought it'd be so funny to hire you. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, you're paying me $400 to, I don't even know.
Only
it was
you.
So weird. And then I was like, no way did I match with this kid. So I went on my Bumble at the time, and now I don't trust the apps. I'm like, also on the apps, every single time I've been on them, every time, I see a photo that I took of a guy. So I'll be on the app swiping. I'm like, That photo was taken in my living room. That was headshot day in May. Like, it's all photos I've taken.
That's flattering, no?
I mean, yeah, but they should.
You're all over Nashville.
I should just start being like Hinge headshot days. Just say,
oh my God, and then we do speed dating.
Oh.
You know how you do 10-minute windows?
I should start setting up headshots and then only pick and choose. But they don't know that they're speed dating. I'm speed dating them. And they're paying me to speed date them.
Okay, let's flush this out. I think we might be onto something. But also, if there's any eligible bachelors, please...
Marissa Turk's
please
brother.
Please slide into my DMs so that I can vet them and then set you up with Rachel.
But, yeah, okay, that's fair. Thank you.
But also, I would love to set you up with my brother. You guys are both creative directors.
Yeah, there's, I need to
my
meet
dad
him.
Loves okay, you. He would...
Let's get back on your father. Due to our title of episode number two, repeating what I said last episode when we last caught up, nobody slides more into my DMs than Marissa Turk's father.
It's true. And my dad is...
Wishes I was one of his daughters.
He's been a big fan of your work since you started. Like, I remember him at the very beginning sending me, I think, the wolf drawings and being like...
Really?
Being like, how cool is this?
That was
and,
a throwback.
And always talking you up to my brother, too. And being like, well, I just think they get along.
Really? Why hasn't he slid in?
I don't know. I'll set it up after this.
Okay, great.
Let's get Rachel Debo boyfriend.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Okay, so do you have any like funny networking stories? Did anyone hire you to swipe right or
no? No, I don't think I have any funny stories, but I think a piece of advice, and honestly, the only critique that I've ever gotten in my professional life, was my first year working at Smack at like a yearly review, was that we have a company card, use it. You should be networking.
That's so
every
cool.
other day. You should be getting drinks. You should be getting coffees. You should be getting to know people.
Yeah.
And so I remember I joined Solid, which is Society of Leadership.
I remember
and
you telling me about this.
Yeah, and they give you this like roster of all the other members in Solid. And I remember sitting down with a highlighter and I was like, okay, what companies do we not
you
have relationships
be sitting
with?
Sitting down with a highlighter, type targeting
A.
who you're going
honestly,
to talk to.
Sounds nerdy.
And who did you talk to?
No, so it had their emails too. So I would set up coffees and that's how I was literally going to lunches and coffees daily. And that just like expanded my network so much. And now like it gets me hype and excited, and it's like it proves I'm a true extrovert because I just get re-energized by other people's energy. But that's how everything comes about. If you have a relationship, if you want to do a feature or a collab situation or set up a write or pitch for a tour, it's like, oh, I already have these relationships and they're friendships. It's not like, it's not so businessy like maybe in other corporate jobs. It's more like, let's just hang at Red Door kind of thing. So networking is so key, and you can be bad at your job, and if you're a good hang, you will go places.
Yes, I agree. And my dad always tells me, like, what's something you did today towards your business? And I feel like that's always important. Like, what did you do today that, like, helped you get to a goal of yours? And that could be, oh, I got coffee with so-and-so. Yeah.
I love that.
Because you just never know. I'm so excited to get into episode number three, where I think we're going to talk about, like, kind of behind the scenes of the jobs. Like, that's where the This Ain't the Ritz title I came up with, because it's like, what you see on Instagram isn't always what it is. Thanks for joining us on our paid time off.
See y'all next time.
Experience the membership bringing together the biggest giveaways, exclusive content, and one-of-a-kind products from some of your favorite names in country music and Southern lifestyle. Download the One Country app today.